she tempts you with her charms.
Music from the Zombies, a classic song, Tell Her No, here at WGXE, where I am joined, I'm very pleased, in fact, to welcome author Linda Zimmerman to the WGXE Catskill studio. So with a background as a research scientist, along with her advanced degree in English literature, Linda has pursued an eclectic career as writer and lecturer. She's the author of over 20 books, including Bad Science, the Ghost Investigator series, and most recently, HVZA, Hudson Valley Zombie Apocalypse, published in 2011. HVZA charts the spread of an infection through our very own Hudson Valley, an infection with some rather alarming symptoms. Thank you, Linda, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's somewhat appropriate, actually, that we do meet here. It's a little over a year to the date of the Japanese earthquake and tsunami events, which triggered the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster, and that seems to play a big role in the events of your novel.
Well, I needed to find some way to mutate the zombie agent, and so I used the old standby of radioactivity, and the Fukushima plant seemed to fit the bill.
Yeah. We've seen an enormous explosion, actually, over the past decade of the zombie, actually, the role of the zombie in popular culture, either from remakes of Romero's Night of the Living Dead opus to the game Resident Evil and the subsequent movies, of The Walking Dead, Max Brooks's World War Z novels. Colson Whitehead just did a somewhat more literary take on that genre with his book Zone One. Why do you think that the zombie myth has touched such a chord?
Well, I think it's a way to express our fears and our anxieties on a, you know, if we want to go into a deep psychological way. Half of all zombie movies have been made post 9/11. During the Great Depression, we had vampires and werewolves and you name it. It's a way to express collective anxiety. The simple answer, they're fun. And people get a kick out of it, and a few years ago it was vampires. Everything was vampires. Zombies.
They're still bubbling around.
Right, right. They're still on the undead charts. But zombies have just, I think The Walking Dead has really, as I was saying earlier, has really resurrected the simplicity of the zombies. You know, people and the zombies who want to eat them. And that's a very simple plot device, and you can really run with that. Look at what The Walking Dead is doing right now.
Yes. So, the issues of survival, I guess, would be kind of important. I mean, it seems that you usually have a situation where there are, I guess, select humans trying to overcome overwhelming odds. And do you choose to band together or kind of go it alone? That seems to be also a theme in your novel as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. The basic premise which George Romero set in Night of the Living Dead is, are you going to be the blonde running around screaming and getting eaten? Or are you going to be the tough guy who grabs the tire iron and fights back? Who are you going to be? Are you going to prey upon other humans? You know, in my book, the humans who are preying upon the other survivors are more dangerous than the zombies. Are you going to be a loner? Are you going to, as you said, band together? You can really explore a lot with this.
Yeah, it's a really ripe field, isn't it? So the heroine of your novel is one Rebecca Truesdale, or Bex for short. She works as both a parasitologist and a nurse, and I guess those are very convenient occupations to be in if you're looking to survive a zombie apocalypse. Very, very. Now she gets infected, she gets cured, and then she begins to navigate her strange new world.
Yes, I wanted her to really experience this firsthand, not just seeing others, you know, losing their lives and turning zombie, but for her to know what the battle was like firsthand, which really hardened her determination to try to find a cure and help other people.
And you make no bones about the fact that she also likes guns.
Yes,
I couldn't help but.
That's a little of the author bleeding into the story. I actually went up to a place in New Hampshire called Machine Gun Safari, where you get to fire all kinds of exciting automatic weapons, and which helped with the book because that's what people are going to need. And I wanted to know how to lock and load those things to be as realistic as possible.
Well, that's an interesting point. I have thought about this. I'm going to go on a little digression. I've often wondered if, in fact, is gunfire really the best method for taking care of a zombie? I mean, eventually, in a zombie apocalypse, it's a finite resource. Unless you're going about kind of digging up and manufacturing your own gunpowder, whatnot. The Walking Dead, for instance, makes a point of their Cajun follower, Daryl, yes, who's all about the crossbow, because
right.
You can always whittle up a new bow. So I just wonder about. I've often wondered about that. What is the most accurate way of or finite way?
Right. Well, the old bullet to the zombie brain right. is still the best, and clearly, if you don't want to get infected, killing them at a distance is your safest bet.
Right. In your book, though, you actually have – there's a slight deviance, I think. I mean, you mentioned that that the zombies in HVCA seem to feel pain, which is
– No, they do. They do not. Mine don't feel pain, but you can kill them in other ways.
Oh, okay. So because usually, it's traditional. It's like the lopping off of the head or the headshot.
Right. Well, Bex is trying to – fight fire with fire. The parasite that's causing this, she's trying to use another parasite to combat it. And I actually got that idea by researching parasitology and came across an actual technical paper about, it's called competitive suppression, where you get two parasites together and they fight one another and the host has a better chance of survival. So I put a lot of thought into this.
Yes, you kind of do talk a little bit about the evolutionary nature of the infection. I mean, you carry the book forward up into 2013. Actually, it's a 2-year long adventure for her.
Right, right, and it's still when the book ends, there's a turning point, but by no means is it over. I mean, it's kind of the beginning of the end of the beginning.
Right.
But she is doing, she even says, if I have to shoot them or do something in the lab, she's going to devote her life to stopping this.
You chose Hudson, New York, as the site of the first exercise of extraordinary measures on the part of the civil and military authorities. Operation Grid is what you call it, and it comes about as a result of, and I'm quoting, the zombie population had exploded, gangs of looters were running wild, and the old section of town was rapidly becoming a no man's land for the undead and people who didn't deserve to live. So basically, you're kind of wiping out Warren Street. And I'm just wondering, did you have like a really bad experience at Baba Louie's or some gallery or antique shop? Is that why you decided to take it out?
No, I have nothing personal against the town of Hudson. What I was looking for was a town on the Hudson that had three sides, one and the fourth side facing the river, so you could have that envelopment. It was totally a military strategic decision. It was nothing personal about it. And having been in Hudson, I just, through my vision as an author, saw it as a great place to have this clean out.
So nothing personal.
Nothing personal at all. I love all you out there in Hudson.
That's good. We're glad to hear that. That was an interesting way of approaching it, because obviously the issue of containment, of quarantine, of extraordinary measures becoming the new normal, that has always been a big part of the horror of, let's say, the zombie genre for me. I mean, it's just watching things just turn ever so slightly and wondering, like, when do you reach that tipping point? And you brought up post 9/11. I mean, that's a reoccurring theme as well for many people of a specific, you know, political bents, who wonder, like, are we going too far? Are we not going far enough? Or is there some sort of essential part of our individuality or of our humanity that is lost in the process of trying to defend oneself?
Right. You can imagine if the attacks of 9/11 had continued for days, weeks, or months, what would our society have become? That whole survivalist mentality would have kicked in very, very quickly.
So, what exactly prompted you then to turn to the zombie genre in particular? I mean, it's obviously it's kind of a happening thing. Was it strictly an issue of commercial interest, or is there something else? These things that we're kind of touching on, was that also part of this?
It was a lot of things coming together, and I go back to the Night of the Living Dead in 1968. That started a lifelong love of the zombie genre. Walking Dead really reignited, as I said, it really brought the simplicity back to it. And I was talking with a production group, Big Guy Media, down in Orange County, near me, and we were saying, you know, this is so popular now, there's so many avenues to explore, we ought to do some zombie thing. So I started writing the book. They're doing podcasts and video blogs of the characters. They've hired actors. So we're trying to bring this into a whole multimedia realm.
Yes, and the book is it self-published?
I have a small publishing company, and I just published it through that.
Yes, and so this is all part of this sort of new way of releasing and putting out, publicizing, I suppose. I mean, it does offer a number of different opportunities. Obviously, the podcast, putting up things on YouTube or whatnot. I mean, there's even a Facebook page, almost everyone.
Oh, yes, yes. I have a website, if I can mention, hvzombie.com, where you can actually go and vote whether you like me as the zombie killer with the machine guns or the zombie. I had a makeup session where I became a zombie.
Yes.
You can vote on which way you like me there. You can go to my Facebook page.
Is that you on the cover?
That is me on the cover of the book. If you take a look, the day I was made up as a zombie, there was a photographer there, and we were doing all kinds of crazy photographs, and he had me kind of banging on the cellar door, the window of the cellar door, and when I saw that photo, I said, cover girl.
Yeah, it's quite catching, definitely. Just to let our listeners know, we're coming up about 5:29 p.m. You're tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXE. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm your host, Ron Diamonstein, and I'm talking with author Linda Zimmerman about her recently published novel, Hudson Valley Zombie Apocalypse, HVZA. And, I also kind of wanted to get an idea from you of, is your background in hard sciences, is that another, I would have thought it would be important for you to be able to integrate those two aspects of your personality, as it were.
Absolutely. I was a research chemist for a medical diagnostics company. So the science of zombies, such as it is, was very important to me. I didn't want there to be a lot of magic. I wanted the biology, the chemistry, I wanted it all to make as much sense as possible. As I said, I was even researching real parasitology papers. The fact that the lead character is a nursing student, scientist, you know, working in a lab, working to be a doctor, that was easy for me to have her talk about working in the lab and, you know, the steps she had to take. And, you know, when a lot of people, you know, don't know what scientists go through, the long hours in the lab, so I was trying to convey all that. And hopefully it did. My experience brought some realism to the character.
Oh, certainly. I think it definitely did. You actually have a working, at least at the beginning, you have a working two jobs. I mean, she's a nurse. I guess she's training to be her doctor. And she's also working at the bio...
Right, Pargentech. It's a high biotech company. Yes. Right.
And in terms of setting the action here in the Hudson Valley and in the running the length and gamut of the valley, obviously you're pretty local. Mm-hmm. Was that just to make it easier for you, or was there some other kind of another reason, harkening back to sort of ancient myths and legends and stuff?
Well, the Hudson Valley, you know, is very rich in legends going back to the Native Americans, the Dutch, the English who came in. And I've spoken a lot around the area. I tell ghost stories and yes, I research haunted sites. So I know the valley pretty well and the legends. And I thought it was time to add a layer of zombie legend on top of it. And it was just fun because I do know the area. Again, that level of realism when I talk about it. For instance, not only the town of Hudson, but I use the Hudson Athens Lighthouse as a location. And I made sure I took a trip last year so when I was talking about it, I knew where the lay of the land. And I think it's fun when you're reading something, you're not talking about some mythical city, you know, who knows where in the country. This is your own hometown. These are your backyards. These are your neighbors. And I think that makes it more frightening when it's personal.
Yes, yes. The zombies are your own peeps.
Right.
So how long did it take you to actually do the whole research and put the book together? I mean, you obviously have a long background in writing. I'm assuming writer's block is not something that, you know, generally occurs with you.
Right. It was actually only a few months, but it wasn't like I was sitting down writing a few hours a day. I thought and lived this 24 hours a day. I would take a break to ride my bicycle, but I'm thinking, what's the chapter I'm writing? So when I would sit down to write, I would have these scenarios in my head already. So I eat, breathe, sleep, you know, my topic when I'm writing it. So I couldn't type fast enough to get all the thoughts and storylines out.
How has the reception been for the...
So far, it's been amazing. It's been wonderful. It's only been out a couple of months. There's a few reviews on Amazon. They're all 5-star reviews. I've given a few book signings, and I have everybody from little kids to senior citizens. Boy, the zombie fans really come out, and so far, the reception has been fabulous.
I understand that there have been zombie walks in the past in this general area. I've only been around... in the Catskill area for a little less than a year now. So, but I understand, like about 2 years ago or so, I think there was one coming up, and so there's definitely like a nice community of zombie aficionados.
Last year I did, they call them zombie crawls. I did one in the town of Rosendale, and then Saugerties had a large one. And it's just amazing to see hundreds, if not thousands, of people turn out, you know, dressed in very creative zombie outfits. And it's a fun thing to do. It's enjoying Halloween dress up, you know, any time of the year. And it sounds strange, but it's something the whole family can do. I mean, really, when I did the Rosendale one, the best zombie outfit was a mother and her two kids as a zombie family. So it's a kick.
Yeah, it is. It's slightly paradoxical, I think, that you have both that sense of potential unbridled horror, and yet you can also very easily make fun of it, because zombies they kind of go both ways. Obviously, they're on the one hand, they can be quite hideous and and incredibly deadly. At the same time, if you choose, you know, the sort of traditional slow-moving ones, they're kind of goofy in a way, too, because they don't have a lot of animation necessarily.
Right, and they're not malevolent in the sense that they have an intent to kill you. It's not like some evil monster. It's just who they are. It's like an automaton. You know, how can you not love a zombie?
No, I don't know how. I mean, I think plenty of people actually do in reality as well. So I'd like to conclude, Linda, with a variant of what James Lipton does on Inside the Actors Studio. And so here is a zombie Proust questionnaire, but there's only five.
Okay. Well, okay. Shoot.
So zombie preference, fast moving or slow and steady?
Slow and steady.
Okay. What's your favorite zombie movie?
The original Night of the Living Dead, as cheesy as it looks today.
What celebrity would you most like to see turn?
Oh, I don't think we have enough time.
Oh, no, you have a minute or two.
Lady Gaga, she really irritates me.
Okay, if you could ask a zombie one question, what would it be?
Do you know you're a zombie?
Okay, and if heaven exists, finally, should zombies be allowed in, or should they just mill about the pearly gates?
Oh, they should have a special line on the way in because it's not their fault.
Okay. Linda Zimmerman, the book HVZA, Hudson Valley Zombie Apocalypse. Can you talk a little bit and just add the availability of the book, how it can be acquired,
Sure. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also available in every ebook known to mankind, Kindle, Nook, iPad. If you want a personalized copy, get in touch with me through my website.
Which is?
hvzombie.com.
Okay. Linda Zimmerman, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
And I leave you all now with yet another zombie song. They're a cover version of Going Out of My Head here at WGXE 90.7 FM.